Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to be talking about the Big Six with Adam Young. I'm going to talk about who he is in just a second. We're really excited to introduce you to today's discussion. So Adam Young is a licensed clinical social worker with a master's degree in social work and divinity. He serves as a fellow with the Allender Center as the host of the podcast, The Place We Find Ourselves. We are basing our discussion based on episode 159 that aired July 15th of this year, talking about the Big Six.
Which is 2024 as we record this.
2024, right, exactly. So I'm just going to read to you the introductory statements he makes about the Big Six, and then we're going to jump into them. When you were a child, you were deeply dependent on your primary caretakers. This means that the development of your brain was contingent upon the level of care and kindness in your family environment. So he identifies the six things you needed from your parents, then he gives some examples of them. So here's what the Big Six are. These are things that you needed as a child from your parents. Number one, attunement. Number two, responsiveness. Number three, engagement. Four, ability to regulate your affect. Number five, ability to handle your big emotions. And the final sixth, willingness to repair harm. We're going to talk about the first three today. Chris, jump in.
I want to say that we are promoting another podcast because it is excellent.
Excellent, yes.
A couple of years ago or so at this recording, a friend suggested I listen to an episode of his. I thought, okay, it will probably help me with my work as a mentor.
Yeah.
After I listened to it, though, no, even during the middle of it, I'm listening to this particular episode, and I realized this is not only going to help me as a mentor, it's going to help me personally. Mm. So we highly recommend this podcast and this specific episode. So he's going to give you a lot more detail about this topic than we will.
Right.
We just want to make you aware of it and start get the ball rolling with this.
Right. And again, I want to remind you that Adam Young, his podcast is called The Place You Find Yourself. We're going to be talking about episode 159. He also has so many free resources. If you go to his website, AdamYoung.com, I'll put it in our notes, where you can get some free resources that are so invaluable.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to laugh here. I actually think from the notes that you took, it's actually called The Place We Find Ourselves.
Oh, okay. What did I say? The Place You Find Yourself?
The Place You Find Yourself. The Place We Find Ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting title. And you will understand this more and more as you listen to his episodes.
Yeah. So we're doing a podcast episode based on a podcast episode.
Right, because it was so powerful for me. So right. I listened to this as of this recording last week.
Yeah.
And I listened to it again, maybe three times, I forget. And as I'm listening to it, it resonated with me about growing up the way I did in a highly dysfunctional family. It also did this for me. I sent it to my wife. I sent it to all my siblings. I sent it to a couple of cousins. I sent it to a friend, a couple of friends. And everyone that has responded so far have said, thank you for sending this to me. It's really making me think about my own life growing up and how it impacts me today.
Right. So we are great connectors. If we find a good tool, we are going to pass it on to you. We are not trying to be Adam Young. We are not trying to duplicate his podcast. We are just referring you to his podcast. We want to talk about the six things that he talks and how that has affected you and I, Chris. But we just want to refer you to him. It's good, good material.
And the reason we do this, we are the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. And so we teach and train people to be effective mentors. One of the ways you can do that is share resources.
Right.
I don't have to try to go back to college and study all of this. I can listen to it and go, that's a really good nugget or a major piece for this person I'm mentoring. I'm going to share it with him or her.
Right. One of the things he talks about with the Big Six is that the best way to get healthy for your children, the people around you, is to look inside and take care of your own stuff. That is especially true for a mentor. The way that I take care of my past and heal and gain tools to repair damage that has been done, that makes me a better mentor. So that's why we want to cover today. So we're I think I've said this multiple times, but we're going to do a two-part series. Today, we're going to talk about the first three. Next week, we'll jump into the final three. But the first three, the first one is attunement. Let me read a quick little definition of this. Were your parents so attuned to you that they knew what you were feeling? Think about that for a second. A parent that is often distracted by their own needs, wants, emotions, and personal pain cannot be attuned to the child's needs. So think about this for yourself. Put yourself back into your childhood. How attuned were your parents to what you were feeling? That tells a lot. Either they were or they weren't. Maybe one wasn't and maybe one was. But think about your own parents.
And keep in mind, when you are a child, even maybe a young teenager, you may not be able to, you may not have the words, especially as a child, to express your feelings.
Right.
Mom and dad should be able to read you well enough.
Right.
And to get that process started.
To ask the questions.
That conversation started.
Yeah, you don't look right. Is there something wrong?
Instead of, what's wrong?
What's wrong with you?
I have to laugh. That's what was said. If you looked upset in my house, what is wrong with you? Well, then that really makes you want to
open
up. Opened
the door for honest communication.
Yeah.
Well, we have a really great example of this. We think to our oldest little baby who's now has a baby of her own, but she was about 18 months old. Chris and I, we took a trip. I don't know how long it was, a week?
Well, probably close to it. It was out of state for business.
Right. And we were gone. First time she'd been left that long in the care of a really dear friend at that time.
Who we trusted implicitly.
When we went to pick up our dear, sweet little baby, Addison, she saw us at the front door and ran to us, squealing with delight. Of course, we picked her up, loved her, you know, got in the car, got her home, and she had major meltdown. And I remember you going, well, what's wrong with her?
I'm glad she didn't have memories
of that. Yeah,
what's wrong with her? She was just fine a minute ago.
I remember having just read something, probably from James Dobson at the time, my only resource on parenting, was that children, when they feel safe, and usually it's with mom and dad, when there has been separation, when they're reunited with mom and dad, or you know the people who they feel the safest with, they will let down all their emotion, and that's exactly what she was doing with us. Thankfully, at 18 months, she felt safe enough with us, her safe people, to just let it all hang out, and boy, did she! But we had to have the attunement. Let's rephrase that. I had to have the attunement to say, Chris, sweet dear, she is letting down. Let's just let her be.
And then, so don't feel bad if you missed it that way. I did too. We learn. If you're not taught something, how can you know it? But I also thought about this.
Yeah.
That happened with our, she was a toddler, I guess, at that point.
Uh-huh.
Think about when men or women in the military have gone overseas and they come back and they land at the airport. What do you see happening normally?
Yeah, such a sweet reunion.
But what happens?
Running.
People, they run to each other, they're hugging, and they're sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go, well, they should be happy because they've been apart. That they are happy. They're just so, they're letting down, going, oh, this person that means so much to me, we're together again.
So these may be new concepts to you. So let me read this one again. Number the first of the big six is attunement. How attuned were your parents to your feelings? How well did they know, ooh, something's off here? Chris, you have an example of your little first grade self.
You always have an example. First grade, I was a shy, timid kid because of home life, all right? As I think back, I was put into school. See, I was in four different schools in three different towns.
Yeah, my
first
that's grade not going to miss you.
That would mess even a big extrovert.
Yeah.
But I was, as a little kid, I was so nervous. Home life was so unstable. And here I am. I'm dropped off at my first school, kind of getting started to know people and the teachers. We're moving.
Mm.
We go to another school. Then I'm shipped off with my older sister to live in an aunt and uncle, another school. Then after a number of months, then we're put back with the parents. I say that I'm having this internal stress. As a first grader, I didn't know how to express what was going on. I don't remember my parents ever taking me in their lap or arms and going, I know this must be hard. Mm. It's going to be okay. They didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
In fact, I wonder if it even crossed their minds. Mm. So they were not in tune with me at all.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he's a first grader. You know, he's immature. He's crying. Why is he crying? Because that's what kids do. No, there's more to it than that.
Yeah. So let me wrap this up and we'll go to number two, attunement. Were your parents attuned to you? Did they know what you were feeling? I think that's so important just to stop, assess that. And if you're like most of us, that's not true. That's not the case. And again, I'm going to refer you back to Adam Young's podcast where he tells you what to do if that's the case. But let's move on now to number two of the big six. This category is called responsiveness. When you were distressed as a child, you were mad, you were sad, you were afraid. Did your parents respond to you? Then he says, did they offer comfort, care, and kindness? I told Chris, I think this is so interesting because there's assumption that they were responsive. And so how did they offer comfort? What happens when you were distressed, mad, sad, afraid, and your parents didn't respond to you? That's where I find myself, really. And so what about you, listener? Responsiveness. When you were distressed, mad, sad, afraid, angry, whatever, did your parents respond to you? And how did they offer their comfort, care, and kindness? So Adam Young uses this example as well, but a kid says, you know, they get mad because they can't have cookies for dinner. I hate you. Does the kid actually hate mom and dad at that moment? Maybe, but inherently, no, they don't. They were mad. Were you able to express your feelings of mad? And then were you comforted like, oh, I'm sorry. I know you really want cookies, but you know what? That's not healthy for you.
Okay.
We're going to have a meal or whatever.
But when a kid says to their parent, I hate you.
Right.
Probably the first thing a parent doesn't think of, how can I comfort this child?
No, but right. That's the point.
That's the point.
To be so secure as a parent that you are responsive to whatever emotion comes flying out of your kid's mouth.
And
right.
Try not to take it personally.
Exactly. So here's something to think about. How often did you, as a child, express your feelings to one or both of your parents? I maybe expressed to one, certainly never, ever expressed to another. That's an issue, right? So it's not a case of not getting a response, but did you even feel comfortable to share a feeling in the first place? That all falls under the big six. These are things we should have received in our homes. Responsiveness. How were you responded to when you expressed a feeling? And then how were you comforted with that feeling?
It's interesting. Children will sometimes do negative things
sure.
to try to get some kind of response from their parents. Mm-hmm. No one, even if it's discipline or, I mean, you're getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that some children are craving it so much, they'll do something negative. Or at least dad responded that way.
Right, right. Or, you know, like me, I'm still learning that, oh, it's okay to be sad, mad, frightened, stressed, whatever. Just because somebody didn't respond to those feelings of mine, they're still valid feelings and it's okay for me to have them. So there's so many things that Adam Young goes into, but anything else there, Chris, on responsiveness?
As a teenager, I did this to my dad. I may have shared this in a past episode. I had flip-flops, okay?
Yeah.
He's watching television.
Sure.
I'm purposely, you had to walk in front of the television to get to the bedroom, I think. I'm purposely walking across the floor, flopping my flip-flops as loud as I can on my feet.
That's shocking.
Yeah, shocking to irritate him. I would have been, I think, eighth grade.
Oh, my word.
And I did it a few times. Finally, he yelled at me. And if you don't know how to walk in those shoes, don't walk in them at all. Take them off. Now, why did I do that? I was wanting to connect with my dad.
Yeah.
I wanted some kind of response from him.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I tried something negative.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the third of the top six. It's called engagement. Did your parents have an internal intention and genuine desire to truly know you or to know your heart? Were they willing and able to engage with you on a heart level? I love this question he presents. Were you pursued by your parents. Oh my word, this is so, so, so important. These are things we tried to do as parents, but the whole thing, the whole point of this exercise is, no matter your age, if you're a parent yourself, don't think of, am I doing these currently or have I done them for my children? Did you get this as a child? Were you engaged? Did your parents know really you and your heart? You know, a positive example, we tend to share the things that we didn't get, but at Christmas time, I always felt seen. I felt engaged because my mom always knew. We never had conversations, but she knew that I would like this sort of coloring book or this sort of toy. It really made me feel seen. It wasn't, you know, years later after my mom passed away, my dad asked, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I would really love cozy PJs. And what I got were PJs. They were not anything that I would wear. Bless his heart. He was trying. He was trying to engage me. That's right. But how well did your parents engage you? How well were you known? Chris, you have an example of when you were in high school?
Yes, but I want to address that statement or question. Were you pursued by your parents?
Mm.
That never resonated with me at all. Mm. I never thought. Being pursued by your parents,
yeah,
that sounded weird to me, would have sounded weird to me.
And you know, if you're younger, if you're in your 20s, I think our generation has really learned how to give children voices.
Are you saying you're in your 20s?
No, because we're in the generation still, you know, and so true of our parents, children are to be seen and not heard. And now we've kind of swung way over where children can have super loud voices and come to the table with a lot of, the tides have turned. Our generation, when we were children, and certainly for our parents, children didn't have very many rights.
You had no voice, really.
Yeah, and you had no voice.
You know, we say that, Christina. That was our experience.
That was our experience.
But
and the experience of most of our friends.
Well, but some of our generation, they did have a voice.
Right.
So, when I read that, were you pursued by your parents? That's in the heart of a kid.
Yeah.
And they may not have the words to say that, but we want that. And I also think you pursue something that you want, you value.
Mm.
Not just, it's not ownership. Parents don't own their children.
Right.
They are a gift from God. So to pursue something, I don't pursue something that I don't like,
mm-hmm.
or that I dislike, or that I don't want. I pursue things that are important to me.
Right.
Man,
exactly.
What a great dad. Why do you want to spend time with me? Because I think you're pretty incredible as a son. Mom, why do you want to spend time with me? Mom, why did you do that for me? Why did you make my special dessert?
Right.
Because I know you and you're important to me.
Or as a child, do you ever remember having a parent say, okay, tell me about your favorite whatever. Why do you like that? Were there ever discussions centered around you? A parent going, I want to know you. I want to know what made your day good or what made your day bad. These are things that are so important. You know, as we're talking about these, I think, gosh, for those of you who go, yep, got all that, what a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are going, yeah, didn't receive that, what a tragedy. But at the end of the day, because we come from a biblical worldview, these are all things that a good Heavenly Father does for us. He is totally and completely attuned to us and our needs.
Mm, good point.
He is incredibly responsive. He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us when we're sad. He's engaged with our every need. And
he knows, he says, I knit you in your mother's womb.
I know every hair on your head. He knows us. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, you asked me about the example in high school?
Yes. Going back to engagement. Yeah.
Again, how well did your parents know you? For years, as far as I can remember, 4 and 5 years of age, I loved music. It spoke to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am, 15 years old, and I try out for the high school musical. It was Bye Bye Birdie, mm-hmm. If you're into musicals. And I was so nervous. Again, I was seen as this shy kid, and I got a lead role. And I had to sing And I had to belt out not just the words with the song, but in my dialogue as well. It was very dramatic.
And because you were Mr. McAfee, correct?
Mr. McAfee,
yeah,
if you know the musical.
Role. Yeah.
But anyway, I say all that, my parents were like, you're doing what?
It was a shocker to them that was something
that
piqued your interest.
That was inside of me.
Yeah.
And I never thought about that until as we're preparing for this episode.
They didn't know you.
And that's not being critical. They just didn't know me. Like, oh, you really love me. And guess what was interesting? My dad, at different times, was a professional musician.
Mm.
Wow. What if we'd had discussions like that?
Right.
Does this stir you at all? Dad, I love music.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that. He didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're talking about today.
Next time we're going to pick up with 4, 5, and 6. Let me just go ahead and introduce you to what those are. Your ability to handle your big emotions and willingness to repair harm. This is such an important, important discussion. Again, I won't get tired of referring you to Adam Young and the podcast, The Place We Find Ourselves. Also, I want to share with you that today's podcast is being sponsored by Lori Kenny CPA Firm. If you want to find out more about her firm, it's Lori, L-O-R-I-E, Kenny, K-E-N-N-E-Y, CPA.com. She gives professional CPA advice for individuals and small businesses. I think it's important you find out what other clients have said about her. She gives personal attention. She met our needs with speed and accuracy. She was easy to communicate and maximized our business and personal tax returns. Check her out and thank her for sponsoring the Real Life Mentoring Podcast.